Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners, macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries, and creating curious cocktails inspired by the Dales of Bedell. And it's episode 198.
Is it all getting there? So close.
Oh, so close, so close. Oh, it's this is your last
this
one.
This is my last one.
Before the season before break.
Ever?
No, not ever. And also Patreon. Nick is leaving the room for a bit.
For at least 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yes. Yes, people, we are coming ever closer to episode 200, which is all we'll talk about for the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
But we have some fantastic plans. We're going to say this right now, that episode 200 marks the end of season 4, after which we do take a break, and it's going to be about 3 weeks this time because we some other projects we need to work on, very exciting things.
And I need to sleep.
We need to have a lie down. But for episode 200, we have devised some stuff that we're going to do for the episode. We want you guys to get involved, and we're also going to get Patreons involved in some very specific tasks. So we will be putting out some questions. We will be seeking some of your input in the coming days. So keep an eye on social media. If you think you've missed it at all, you can message us or you can email us and we will give you the details. But don't worry, in the next few days, you will receive information of how you can get involved in episode 200. But how are you, Nick?
I'm fine.
Oh, you're good.
I'm fine. It's almost the end of the week.
It is almost the end of the week.
I know. It's 4 day week. It's gone very quick, and I'm confused about what day it is. And just...
everyone struggled this week because it was like, 4 day week should be shorter, and everyone's like, I can't.
I've got so much to squish into this 4 day week.
I don't know.
It's very stressful.
It is.
It's almost the weekend.
Yes, but I'm working half of the weekend.
Yeah, but I'm not, so it's fine.
I mean, it's all that.
That really is the main thing we need to get out of this.
What about Nick?
What about me? How am I doing?
Well, thank God you're fine now.
Yes,
and I'm basically hanging on.
Tiny thread.
Yes.
But I'm dealing with it okay.
But you're dealing with
that's
it okay.
The main thing, that
I'm trying to climb up the precipice. Like, I have some help. No, shush. I'm having my sit down time. I'm having my Kit Kat egg.
I offered you a Kit Kat egg.
I'm going to have one in a bit. I just didn't want to wolf it down before recording.
You stole my bacon crispies.
And one bacon crispy that was as dry as a fucking dry thing. I don't know what's dry.
As the Sahara.
The Sahara. There you are. No, that's sandy. I want something like
it's also
like
dry.
A flip flop.
Why are flip-flops dry?
I don't know. They're used around the pool area, so
exactly.
Probably not
so I'm imagining quite damp.
All right, well, a flip-flop in the Sahara that was raised there.
Flip-flop,
it was raised there by happy, happy elves.
Those famous desert elves.
They do. They come in the night. You don't know. You've not been to the desert.
This is true. I haven't.
Yes, good. Well, speaking of the desert elves who do come for us in the night, and Nick not going to the desert to find out more about them, which is shocking.
I know. Terrible, terrible behaviour.
I think it is time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers.
Who may well all be elves, for all we know. So thank you very much this week to Victoria Reinheimer.
To Alexandra Dorr.
To Kirsten Robinson.
To Hefsibah Hemlock.
To Sarah Gill.
To Ryan, cake or death, Stover.
Nice. And very much to Suvi.
Ooh.
Thank you, darlings.
You delicious, delicious, sexy, sexy Patreon subscribers. Now, we had fun on Patreon this week.
We
told
did.
The story of the Bourne brothers.
We did.
Yes, two gentlemen who were accused of murder, but did they do it? And was there a body?
Was
Ooh,
there? Was
yes.
there? Was there? Who knows?
It was there. It was a, twisty-turny tale. It was twisty, a good one.
Yes, it was. It was confusing.
Indeed. If you want to know what the hell we're talking about, please do consider joining us on patreon.com/thepoisonouscabinet, where you get extra episodes every single week. You get bonus content. You get to join into a regular Zoom call with me about book club to talk of books and things, and we all drink together.
Talk of books.
Talk of books and literature.
Talk of books and literature.
We do. And there's lots of bonus content and fun things on there. And also during our seasonal break, there will still be content going out on Patreon. So it's the place to be if you can't get enough of The Poisonous Cabinet.
And who can, really?
Well, Nick, are you ready?
Probably not.
Do you drink cocktails and talk about poison?
Well, I finished my last cocktail.
Oh. Well, you must be ready. Mm. Yes. Or, we could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
No, I want a cocktail.
You want a cocktail?
I want a cocktail.
Okay, that's a very good idea. I think it's good. Let's go with the first one.
Yes.
Hooray, hooray, hooray. It is Nick's story this week, and we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavor our cocktail of the week. And this week's secret ingredient is
a cannon.
A cannon.
A cannon.
A cannon.
Or potentially multiple cannon. Just multiple cannon, not maybe. Cannon. Maybe not singular.
No, a cannon of cannons.
A cannon, yes. A plethora of cannons.
A plethora of cannons.
A broadside of cannons, should you wish.
Yes. I don't know what's happening. Very good. Well, lots.
Lots.
Lots of
lots.
Them.
Lots. More than one.
I'm astounded that we haven't done cannon before.
Yes, as was I.
Sure that we had, but we
no,
haven't.
No, I did check.
Oh,
and
it's good.
I could not find it.
Yes, we fight with cannon. Only girls fight
Only
with
girls.
Swords. Cannon, no, but they're quite hefty, so...
They are quite hefty.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Or are you going to wheel out a little fake one and it's
going to fire... Little tiny, little, wee little cannon.
Fire little ingredients into a glass.
I mean, wouldn't that be lovely?
It would be lovely.
But no.
But no, you've let us all down.
I have. Mm. I hadn't considered it, but now I have. I understand how upset everyone must be.
You'll think about what you've done.
I think I shall. Although I do like, as someone pointed out in Patreon, yes, at long last, I am using our Patreon money to buy a cannon. As I remember, I had threatened in a previous episode.
You have. That's where it is.
So it's like, ha-ha, it's my excuse now to buy a cannon.
Yep, absolutely. You need one for the flash.
I mean, I think it'd be great. I can wheel it out the window.
Oh my God, do that.
And I can just... But yeah, fire just, into the square.
You don't have to fire it, just have it there.
Yeah, just have it
just
there.
Just have it there as an option.
Yeah.
People look
sort
up
of,
like
dodgy sort of ruffians who hang out in the square, wheel out the cannon.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, with those thoughts brewing and with cannon as our inspiration and ingredient, what have you come up with?
We're going to have a cannonball.
A cannonball!
You can't have a cannon without a cannonball.
You can't, famously. You can just put cutlery and shit in there.
Cutlery and shit.
Yeah, apparently that works.
Yeah, well, I imagine it would be quite unpleasant.
According to the films, it does.
Yes. I think anything coming out of a cannon is going to be pretty unpleasant.
Yes, it is.
Heavy things moving at a vast speed towards you.
Okay, wonderful. I'm excited. I think it is high time for us to swing into the Poisonous Cabinet kitchen and shake up a storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
Well, Nick, we have a cannonball.
Cannonball.
And it's a tall number.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, it's so rare that you bring out the high
balls. I know. Yeah, not quite tall enough. To
really?
fit the glass.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. Well, that's okay. I wasn't going to judge you on it.
Oh, I was.
Horribly. Oh, okay. Oh, good. We're judging this.
Yes.
What kind of shit show is this?
So much of that, I very nearly changed the glass.
Oh. No,
it's
lovely.
Bugger it.
Well, it's an orangey hue, piled with ice.
Lots of ice. It was meant to have crushed ice, but I couldn't bother to size. So there's lots of ice cubes.
That's nice. Lots of ice. He's got a foamy head.
I think only for the shaking.
Oh, really?
Yes. And the layer of scum that's developing.
Wonderful. Oh, okay. I'm excited. This looks like a tall, refreshing number.
Hopefully so.
Okay. I think it's time for us to dive
Indeed.
In.
Indeed.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay.
I mean, that's horrible.
Do you?
Well, I think it's horrible. I think it's...
It's underwhelming.
It's desperately underwhelming and incredibly bland.
Yeah, there's a lot of smokiness. Is there mezcal in this? Mm-hmm. Yes, there's smokiness and then some sharpness and then nothing.
Nah.
That's all front.
Disappointing.
It starts off interesting and then, but there's nothing later. There's just, it's just like, oh, we're not going there.
We're not,
oh,
no,
okay.
We're not doing
oh, okay. Oh, no. We're not having a
I've seen more from a cannonball.
I would, yeah. Yeah. Should be smacking you in the face and lasting damage. Well, maybe it gives you lasting damage. Depends how much alcohol's in here, I suppose. Yeah, so, very, very smoky and some citrus and not much else going on. Okay, well, mezcal.
Yes.
And then a juice. juice. Some kind. It's quite bitter. Is it grapefruit juice?
No.
Orange juice?
Nope.
Pineapple?
Yes.
It doesn't taste like pineapple juice.
There's two juices.
Two?
Two juices.
Two juices. Right. A lemon?
Nope.
Lime?
Yes.
Lime juice. Lime juice and pineapple.
Lime juice, pineapple.
And mezcal. Because that's got... We're in the makings of something delicious here.
Well, indeed.
But what else?
One more thing.
Lies.
Disappointment.
No, something's ruined this. Is it another spirit?
Yeah, liqueuriness.
Liqueur.
Think fruit.
Think fruit? Triple sec? No? I really don't know what that is. I mean, maraschino.
No.
Banana?
No.
Apples?
No.
Pears?
No.
Stairs?
Yes.
Stairs? Orange? No. Grand Marnier? Or no. Like, I don't know. Tell me.
Apricot.
Oh, apricot.
Some apricot brandy.
Oh, that.
That.
Oh.
That's really disappointing and dull.
It should have been better.
Boo.
How much of everything is in there?
2 ounces of mezcal.
Hey.
Half of the apricot.
Okay. Mm.
It's about one of the pineapple and a half a lime.
No.
And some bitters. Some angostura.
It's almost too much mezcal.
Too much mezcal.
Too much mezcal. It's just overpowers everything.
Exactly. It overpowers everything else. No. Boo.
Oh,
boo.
Boo. Boo. Could have been so good. Maybe we should just put some triple sec in there to stir it in.
Bad drink.
Bad drink. Well, what can we do to liven it up?
No. Throw another bin.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but you've had a very strong reaction to that. Were you all happy and excited for a sensational cocktail?
Well, I didn't think it was going to be sensational. I thought it'd be better than that.
Yeah, it's just a bit nothingy.
Yeah.
Should I try and make it better before we start recording?
What is your suggestion to make it
better?
Well,
I mean, triple sec, probably. I think maybe just a slightly sweeter,
yeah,
sharper
liqueur.
Yeah,
I think something sugary in there.
There's nothing really...
Go on, then.
Apricot, well, okay, all right.
Let's give it a go.
What, if I just put it in and stir it, will that work?
Yes, I think so. Oh, she's stirred stuff.
Stirred it. All right, we chucked in 2/3 of triple sec. All right, let's give it a go. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's definitely orangey.
Better. Not well beaten.
It's still not well beaten, but an improvement.
It's dulled down the mezcal some a spell, a measure.
It's just meh.
Well, okay. Meh. Well, meh. Well, you know what? With the it's hard to have a cannonball in hand when you're walking down the street to Storyland. It's cumbersome and annoying, and this is what this drink is. We are weighed down with it for the duration of this episode. Well, we're begrudgingly carrying our cannonball.
Begrudgingly.
Rolling it along.
Yes.
Is it time for a story, Nick?
It is definitely time for a story.
Woohoo!
Yes, indeed. So this week,
yep.
I've gone for a big one.
Oh, a big one?
I've gone for a big one.
Okay.
So everyone listening will know what this episode is. Sinead is none the wiser. There's no idea what's going on. So this week we have the tale of one of the most legendary.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, one of the most renowned, one of the most fearsome men ever. So this week we are talking... Blackbeard.
Oh! Edward Teach, you say?
Edward Teach indeed. Good old pilot.
Oh, I thought you might do this. When you said cannon, I was like, oh, he's fucking doing Blackbeard, isn't he? We haven't done a beard yet, have we, as a secret ingredient?
We haven't. It's also quite difficult to find beard-based cocktails. I did try that as an option. I did investigate that,
oh,
that possibility.
Beard. A great big bushy beard.
Great big bushy beard. Not many cocktails involving beards.
Oh,
very disappointing.
Oh, well, there we are.
Unfortunately, I did not have the time to create my own.
I am very excited. All I know of Blackbeard is watching that brilliant documentary, Blackbeard's Ghost.
Yes, that classic documentary.
Absolutely. Peter Ustinov playing him. And I think I did watch a documentary on Edward Teach a while ago, which was very interesting, but I can't remember any of it. So go ahead.
Okay. So Blackbeard has gone down in history as one of the most famous pirates of the operating during the golden age of piracy. We're sort of say you have already covered other pirates in this period. So yeah, so we've had a look at sort of Anne Bonny, Calico Jack, those sorts of things.
Yes.
Them and many others operating. We're looking at the sort of late 17th, 18th sort of centuries. It is a surprisingly short period to produce so many very, very famous names.
Yes.
Because it lasts like 50 years or so, this period. But there are so many names that everyone recognises coming out of this. I mean, Blackbeard himself has a relatively short career. He's around for about 18 months.
Seriously?
Yes, I know. I thought he was like around for years. But he's actually around for about 18 months.
Okay.
We'll find out before what.
Exactly. Yeah.
But he certainly makes the most of his time at sea. Clearly. And gains this fearsome reputation.
Okay.
That has endured. But really the longevity of his legend is largely thanks to a somewhat exaggerated and mostly fictional portrait of the man by Daniel Defoe.
Yes. Yes, lovely Daniel.
Dear old Daniel, who wrote Robinson Crusoe.
He did.
He also wrote a pamphlet in 1724 under the pseudonym Captain Charles Johnson. The pamphlet was entitled A General History of the Robberies and Murders of the Most Notorious Pirates.
Oh, brilliant. Love it.
Fantastic pamphlet title. Now, in this book, Captain Johnson, Defoe, takes great delight in describing not only the life of Blackbeard, but many, many other famous pirates of the era. But he describes them all in a very over-the-top way. I mean, Blackbeard is portrayed as a complete homicidal monster, really,
okay.
who slaughters anyone he came across. Anyone who's looked at him the wrong way ends up, like, walking the plank.
Oh, well, that's like the image I had in my head.
Exactly. I mean, no one is safe from a cannonball in the face type thing when he's around.
To him lobbing it as well, yeah. Firing it.
No, he's just chucking cannonballs at people. He doesn't need cannons. He's just picking them up and throwing them at ships.
He walks up and down the deck just sort of tossing one in one hand. Yeah, he's exactly. That strong. My God.
He's a terrifying figure. Really.
Right.
I mean, so yeah, not only does he inspire fear in other ship-going people.
Ship-going people? What the fuck?
No, sailors, they were the ones. Ship-going people. I really must learn to write more down.
You do know so much, Nick, and when you don't write it down, fucking brain goes off. Like, ship-going people. I'm waiting for my drink to golden.
Yes, I'm waiting for my drink to encolden, ship-going people. Words make no sense in my head.
Oh, you fancy talking.
Sailors.
Right, good. We're well on the way.
Yes. So, yes, not only does he inspire fear in sailors, but also in his own crew as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you should rule with an iron fist. Surely.
Yeah, so everyone suffers from his wrath, really. In one episode, the unstable captain locks himself, along with a number of the crew, in the hold of his ship. There he decides to burn brimstone.
Right.
Sets light to a brazier of brimstone. All the crew choking, suffocating, coughing their guts up, ready to die. The hatches are opened. They come coughing and spluttering out. He saunters out. This devilish figure is completely unfazed by the brimstone fumes that have come out.
That's just a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
If it was true, which it clearly isn't.
Oh, I mean, it's really not.
Well, that's a weird thing to write, Daniel Defoe. Sorry.
Well, I think the idea being that he is unfazed by these sort of hellish vapors,
the hellfire
and things that he's completely fine with it because he is obviously some sort of demon folk, but everyone else is coughing and gasping and spluttering, and he's going, it's fine.
He's like, yes, everyone, look, you locked us all down there. No one is impressed.
On another occasion, another episode, he is said to have marooned 15 of his crewmen on a small barren rock. This rock has been forever known afterwards as Dead Chest Island.
Ooh.
And is known by that name to this day. Now, Blackbeard left these men with a treasure chest brimming with booty, a cutlass and a singular cutlass and a bottle of rum each.
Sorry, they had the chest was full of booty.
The chest full of booty.
They have a cutlass
have a
and a bottle
cutlass
of rum.
And a bottle of rum.
Right. Okay. So I thought that was what was in the chest.
No. Chest is full of exciting golden treasures and gems and
old style booty.
Old style booty indeed. Mm-hmm, now the captain had assumed naturally that the men would happily murder each other
for a bigger share
of the booty. So he was going to come back and there'd be one man victorious.
Ooh.
Over all his crewmates, and he has slaughtered everyone else. Yeah. And he was bitterly disappointed. He returned a month later.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying, hi. All 15 of them without, hi.
Hello.
We made a house. We all worked together.
We've had a lovely committee.
We found some sea turtles. It was very nice.
We formed a lovely choir, actually.
And he was not best pleased by all of by this.
He's up there, son of a bitch.
I mean, of course, then we have his sort of prodigious sexual appetites. He would shag any woman in sight, and any woman would be desperate to shag him. He's a famous Blackbeard. He's a very magnetic and attractive man.
How does he have this reputation?
He has
women
fought,
have thoughts.
He has four. No, they don't. He has 14 wives. Four, and no, it, who he merrily shares with his crew.
Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Dreadful, terrible behaviour.
This is not real.
This is all bollocks.
Right, good. Okay, no, because we were laughing about a very horrible situation. No.
No, this is none of this is real. No. None of this is true. This is all the story made up by Defoe in his in his pamphlet about the history of this vicious, bloodthirsty man.
Yeah, okay.
The truth is quite far from that. Yes. Really.
you shock me.
So yes, mainly it's all bollocks. Those are the legends that stuck. And those are the legends that have snowballed, and those are the things that people think of Blackbeard. In the Victorian age, you have plays and musicals that are based on him as this bloodthirsty sort of pirate. So
up the Jolly Roger.
And it's all based on these descriptions by Daniel Defoe.
Wow.
Okay. Who was the real Blackbeard?
Who was he?
Shall we find out?
I think we should find out. But why are you saying it in a sermon's voice?
Shall we
to speak of the man who had 14 wives.
Now, his origins are a bit vague. Some people say that not much is known about his childhood. It is thought that he's born around 1680.
Okay.
In Bristol, Edward Teach. Now, some people say it's Thatch, and there's a whole variety of spelling variations on Teach and Thatch. In some sources, he's Drummond, which is very different to Teach, but majority go with Teach, so we're going to go with Teach. As for this episode. Now, at some point in his teen years, he moved from Bristol, which was a massively thriving port. It was the second city, really, in England at the time. He moves out to the Caribbean. Some versions say that he is actually from a very wealthy family, and his family have bought property in the Caribbean, and he moves out with his father to make their fortune and to make more money. It's all grand. Some other versions say he's from a dirt poor family, and he goes out there on his own accord to seek his fortune and make a name for himself.
It's the place to be.
We don't know which one is true.
No.
What we do know, that by sort of the early 1700s, a conflict in Europe known as the War of the Spanish Succession.
Mm-hmm.
King Charlie of Spain had died without an heir, and everyone was fighting over who to get the Spanish throne, and England and France, and everyone was trying to kill each other. This conflict has spread across into the American colonies, where France, Spain, and England all had a foothold there, and they were fighting themselves as a sort of proxy of this war in Europe.
Yeah.
This one becomes known as Queen Anne's War, because Queen Anne was on the throne in England at the time. Now, as part of this, many, many, many sailors from the sort of Caribbean, from that area, take up arms as privateers. Yep. It is the way to go for basic legal piracy.
Yes.
You are empowered to fight the enemies of the crown for your side, and as a reward you can keep the booty that you get.
Yes, you're legally allowed to go along there. Don't steal anything, but if you happen to find stuff, then that's kind of yours.
Yeah, on French ships, on Spanish ships, have at it.
Yeah,
leave
absolutely.
The English ones alone.
Yeah, but you've got to promise not to do anything illegal.
Yes, indeed. So this is the way forward for many, many people who want to make a living, really. Privateers, it's a good old fun time. And Edward Teach was one of these men who took up with a crew as a privateer during the war. Now, when the war ended in 1713, privateers are stripped of their livelihood. They can no longer go out and fight the enemy because everyone's friends now.
Everyone's friends. That worked out so well for so long, didn't
exactly.
it? Yeah. Everyone was fine.
So you can't go around blowing up things for Queen and Country anymore, which is very disappointing.
You can't just kill a Spaniard.
So many people try to sort of return to land, try their hand at farming, work at the plantations and all this sort of stuff. But those with a taste for life at sea... Turned to piracy, roaming the seas for plunder from whoever they could track down.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Teach is one of these. He has no desire to return to England. He has no desire to work the land. The sea is where he is. He feels at home, and he's found his life. So he joins up with Benjamin Hornigold. Now, Benjamin Hornigold was a privateer turned pirate captain.
Yes, I've heard of him. Also, his name is fantastic.
Yes. So he's operating out of New Providence Island in the Bahamas. A lovely, lovely place. And he's got a ship called the Marianne. and he hunts round New Providence, successfully capturing cargoes, and he makes a small fortune.
The question being here is that if you're not trying to run down enemy ships and stuff, is it that you're just, the Caribbean is on a trade, you're sort of on a trade route?
Exactly. There's so much trade coming between all the sort of the plantations in the Caribbean, sort of Jamaica, Barbados, all the sugar plantations and stuff like that. You've also got the colonies in America.
Yeah.
People are heading towards there. You've got the slave trade, which is still massive, going back and forth. So there's a huge amount of shipping
that you
going between Europe and the Americas.
Yeah.
And there's a huge amount of opportunity to take a lot of that stuff. So supplies coming from Europe, I can have that. Gold going from the Americas back into Europe, I'll have some of that.
People will have some of that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of shipping coming from all the powers in Europe back and forth.
Nice.
Huge amount of profit to be had just for the sheer number of ships that are going all over the place. Yeah, so Benjamin Hornigold, he is there. So he was a privateer. He's now gone, bugger that. He's going to turn to piracy. And William Teach signs up with Hornigold. Edward Teach, he proves himself more than capable. He's got his experience as years as a privateer, and he quickly proves himself a capable and trustworthy sort of lieutenant to Benjamin Hornigold. When they capture the 30-gun sloop Ranger, Hornigold takes it for his flagship, takes it for himself, and he gives Edward Teach command of the Marianne.
Ooh.
And he says, yep, okay, you are the most trustworthy man I have here, you're the most capable seaman I've got here, you take command of this ship. And together, the pair of them, again, hunt throughout the Bahamas for sort of wayward shipping. In September 1717, the pair come across Stede Bonnet.
Oh.
Are you aware of Stede Bonnet?
No.
The gentleman pirate.
Oh, right. No, yes. Yeah, so those, intimately, no.
Yes,
no,
so, well, there's a Taika Waititi TV show, Our Flag Means Death.
Our Flag Means Death, yeah. Yes. I've only seen a couple of episodes, even though it's wonderful.
Yeah, so that TV show is the story of the relationship between Stede Bonnet and Blackbeard.
Right.
Yeah, so Stede Bonnet, yeah, known as the gentleman pirate. He has got his ship, the Revenge. It's very dramatic. Excellent name for a ship. Now, Stede, he is from a very wealthy family in Barbados.
Yeah.
He's landed gentry, very fancy. He has grown incredibly bored of all his money. On land. It's like, what do I do with all this cash?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. And he doesn't...
Land money.
When his father passes away and he inherits the plantation and all this stuff, he's not bothered about running the farms and plantations and all this sort of
stuff.
Someone else can have it. He wants an adventure. He liquidates a lot. He buys a ship, kits it out, hires a crew, and I'm going to be a pirate.
Yay!
And he's got enough money to go, fuck it, I'm going to be a pirate.
posh boy.
posh boy wants to be a pirate. And he sets out to make a name for himself as a pirate.
Oh, yes.
He's not a good pirate.
Oh, God. We've got time for a game of ruggers.
Exactly. He's a bit too posh and a bit too, not cowardly, a bit too tame,
potentially,
have a bit of a vicious streak behind you.
No, you can't be reticent. Yes. You can't be like, rules of engagement, one thing. No Queensbury rules here.
He's not as forward, he's not as umphy as his crew would like, not as aggressive as his crew.
Ship, sends them over a letter. Here are my demands, but in your own time, just let me know.
Yeah. So when he happens upon sort of Hornigold and Teach, his crew are near mutiny at this point. Okay, we need to get a better captain than this. He's a lovely man, but he's a shit captain. And Stede and Teach, they strike up a friendship between them. And the gentleman pirate quickly realizes that Teach is a lot better captain than I am. He's a lot better pirate than I am. Here, you captain the Revenge.
Yeah.
So he gives his ship, or gives command of his ship, across to Teach.
Nice.
And this is probably saves him from a mutiny. Because his crew are like, oh, okay, fine, at least we've got someone decent in command now who knows what they're doing. And so Teach stays on board and is sort of happily there on the Revenge.
Nice. A fancy ship as well.
A bit of money. He's got some nice cannons, very shiny.
Oh, you got the new models.
Yeah,
ooh,
absolutely.
Really nice. Yeah, check out the waxing on this deck.
Yeah, so Teach takes command of the Revenge and it's added to Hornigold's sort of growing fleet. The fleet soon grows to 5 ships. But there are rumblings starting amongst the crews on all these ships.
And that's nothing to do with the sausages.
It's nothing to do with the sausages. Captain Hornigold has been quite specific in his orders not to attack English ships.
Fair enough.
Now, he was an English privateer.
So is Tish.
But he is still sort of clinging to his long gone now sort of legal defense of I'm a privateer for the English.
Oh right, he's, then yes,
but, which is no longer valid at all because him, yeah, this is nonsense. But mm-hmm. he's still going, no, we don't attack English ships. Everyone else is slightly less patriotic. Okay, we fucking attack anyone
who's
got money. Exactly. English or not, we don't care. Yeah. We take whatever we... In autumn of 1717, the crew take a vote and, yeah, Hornigold is relieved of command.
Yeah.
Pirate ships surprisingly get democratic.
Well, we talked about that in Anne Bonny as well. Yeah, very democratic process. Yeah. Because, I mean, if it's completely lawless, then you just be mutiny every two seconds. You know, if you're living rough and ready, then you have to have a system in place and respect it.
Exactly.
Respect,
yeah.
You'll be looked after.
And that they do. They do respect this. Yeah, this vote is had and, yeah, they respect it. Mm. So Captain Hornigold is removed from command and say he does not fight for his place. He goes, no, okay, fine. He accepts his sort of forced retirement and he does end up taking the king's pardon eventually. Mm. And eventually he turns pirate hunter. He turns against his sort of former comrades. Hornigold leaves with his ship. The Ranger and sort of the rest of the fleet sort of disperse, really. What everyone wants to do their own sort of thing. Teach leaves with the Revenge and one other little sloop, and he goes off to make a name for himself. On the 28th of November 1717, Teach's two ships attack the French merchant vessel La Concorde. Now, this is off the coast of St. Vincent. These attacking two ships fire broadsides across this merchant's decks. Cannibals, splinters flying all over the bloody place, killing many of the crew of this merchant ship.
Yeah.
Now, this initial sort of ferocity of attack causes the French captain to go, nope. And he surrenders. He surrenders.
It's one way to get the job done
ship.
Quickly.
Fast, brutal. Yeah. Get in there. Get in with that surprise. Get in with that aggression.
Yeah.
And people go, ah, shit.
Yeah, run up the white flag.
And up goes the white flag. Teach takes command of the Concorde along with its cargo of 516 slaves.
Ooh.
That are en route from Benin to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
On this sort of 2-week journey. Teach sails the Concorde up the coast to a small island of Bekwa. He frees the slaves and forces the French crew ashore. Everyone is given the opportunity to join the crew if you want, stay here.
Yeah, fend for yourself.
Yeah, fend for yourself on this tiny 7-square-mile island.
With a lot of
a
angry
lot of very
people.
angry Africans.
Yes.
Not too happy about being home, being taken away. Not many of the people actually decide to join. But what Teach does do is he very generously leaves the smaller of his two sloops. He's now got the Concorde.
Yes.
He's got that. He doesn't need the small sloop. He hasn't got the crew at the moment to deal with three ships. So he leaves the French officers, right, have this small ship.
Yeah.
There we go. And he sails off into the distance.
leave that behind.
Unfortunately, the French crew all get on this sloop. They go off. They come back with a bigger boat and recapture the slaves.
Oh no!
So, which is less heartwarming, really, than they're all free and off they go and live a happy ever after. They are quite quickly recaptured.
That's a bit shit.
Unfortunately, La Concorde is refitted. They add 40 new cannon to this ship, and it is renamed Queen Anne's Revenge.
Oh, that's nice. Oh yes, melding all of the things together. Bit of revenge was a very good name.
Revenge was a very good name.
Queen Anne, to be less French.
Yep, less
La
French.
Concorde, we're not very cordial. Also, that hasn't been invented yet.
Yep, so Queen Anne's Revenge. And this is where the legend of Blackbeard really starts. Yeah. Queen Anne's Revenge is a major step up. He now has a crew of around 300 to 400 people.
Ooh.
300 to 400 men. Massive crew. Yeah. And people are flocking to his banner. His banner, now unfortunately, his banner sounds so cool, but in other things I read, it's like, no, that was not his banner.
Oh, no. No, give us the good version.
So many sort of people portray this as his banner. It's a skeleton, one hand holding an hourglass, the other hand holding a spear pointed at a bleeding red heart.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Sort of the symbolism being, if you see this banner, your time is up, then you're getting the spear through the heart.
We turn the hourglass. But you've got this much time.
Your time is fast coming up, which is brilliant symbolism and a fantastic flag. Unfortunately, most people seem to think No, it really wasn't. It was just one of those sort of legends that grew up.
Or something. Yeah,
it would have been, perhaps just a black flag or something like that. Yeah.
No, that's great.
And you can see pictures of it, what people think it is, and it looks so cool. This is the skeleton, hourglass, spear. Bah.
Or we'll have that as a tattoo, maybe. That would be great. But also, can you imagine, like, if it's like you're imagining the flag is really huge and someone gets close to it again? I can't quite see what's on there. Can we get really close? Oh, yeah, it's an hour. Oh, fuck.
Didn't want to do that. Captain Bostock of the merchant sloop Margaret was stopped by Blackbeard in December 1717 and the Queen Anne's Revenge. Bostock and his crew were held prisoner aboard the ship while Blackbeard and his crew ransacked the captured boat. Once everything of any value is removed, the crew are allowed to return to their ship and go on their way. Captain Bostock makes straight for St. Christopher's Island, where he reports the encounter to the governor. In his statement, he describes his opponent, his enemy. The beard was black, which he suffered to grow of an extravagant length.
Nice.
As to breadth, it came up to his eyes. He was accustomed to twist it with ribbons in small tails and then turn them about his ears, so as it wind them around his face. In time of action, he wore a sling over his shoulders with three brace of pistols hanging in holsters like bandoliers, and stuck lighted matches under his hat, which appearing on each side of his face. His eyes, naturally looking fierce and wild, made him altogether a figure that imagination cannot form an idea of a fury from hell to look more frightful.
Whoa.
So, yes.
That is a great explanation. I have notes.
Okay.
So lit matchsticks under the hat smoke. Oh,
yeah, so yeah, he's
yeah.
got like a
flaming.
Like,
yeah, I'd heard
fuses,
of that.
Sort of like slow fuses, like cord soaked in gunpowder that was slowly burn away, be constantly surrounded by this sort of smoke and sort of glowing red embers and things.
Amazing. And the bandolier, awesome. The beard. Now I have questions, because the beard was okay, nice long beard, great, up to his eyes.
Up to his eyes.
But that looks like a fake beard.
I don't know. I mean, because I'm thinking
if he grows it into his cheeks. Like,
yeah, exactly. Because I shave my cheeks, so I could, if theoretically, I could grow a beard up to about here.
Yeah.
Which is nearish my eyes.
But then, okay, so it's up to his eyes. But then he ties ribbon, and then he ties the ribbon around his ear, so he's pulling the beard over his face.
I think it's almost like braids that he ties colourful ribbons in.
And that's what I'm imagining, in the kind of like these twisted, almost dreadlock kind of braids.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff like that. No, I'm also like little pink ribbons and
that's
lovely.
What, you know what, exactly what I thought when I read this. And they are sometimes described as colourful ribbons.
Yes, yeah.
So why? I've got pink and blue and green ribbons in my beard. It's like, is that going to strike fear?
Well, it was quite fancy at the time, because the fashion would have been for bolts of colour and things, I think.
But to inspire terror?
To inspire terror. Oh my God, he looks fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like, oh, it's a very fashionable pirate.
Well, he's scary, but fashion forward. Yeah, fashion exactly. Forward, so, yeah. It makes an impact, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You kind of go like, well, he's tied his beard up over his face.
Small skulls or chains. Or so that's what you need, really, hanging
a
in
cat,
your beard.
Just like there. You know, a raven.
Crows and things.
Okay, it's a look. It's a look. It's
so,
a
I mean,
solid.
It's
look.
A solid look. I mean, the branding department have gone all out on this.
The man was on fire constantly.
Exactly. So yeah, he's got a good PR going on.
Yeah.
I need a break. I've been talking so much.
Oh my God, it's time for a drink.
Really,
to discuss the beards.
Discuss the beard.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Nick, we have our drinks.
We do.
We do. Oh my God.
We have a great big black beard.
Big, big old bushy
big old,
beard.
Big old bushy beard. I've tied some ribbons.
Resplendent with ribbons. Would you ever, I think you need to start doing beard decoration.
Really?
As a small aside, because you did a glitter beard once and I've never seen you happier. Secretly, quietly happy.
It was quite exquisite.
You did spend the whole day with it on. You went home and just sent pictures from your house.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, just straight around.
If I'm having a glitter beard, everyone's going to know I've got a glitter beard. Someone did buy me some baubles.
Oh, for your beard?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, ribbon.
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 It's now a bit too short, I feel, for ribbon.
No, you can do it. So. Little skulls.
Little skulls.
Little studs. Diamonds.
Lip fusers, I want.
Yes, lip fusers.
Yeah.
Just gems.
Just gems.
Just put shit in your beard.
It's going to be great.
Great.
But anyway.
What else can Edward teach us?
In March 1718.
Okay.
He is taking on supplies. And he spots the ship Adventure. Now, the Adventure is a log-cutting sloop out of Jamaica.
Ooh.
Now, I'm assuming a log-cutting sloop is probably a little ship that takes on trees and, while it's in passage, cuts them up.
I'm not going to give it any more thought than that.
So that's what I'm thinking that this is. Because there's a long way to go. Take some trees, cut them up on the way.
Okay. Big ships, lots of space.
Lots of space, exactly. Lots of dead time while floating around the place.
Exactly, your hobby.
Anyway, so this ship is making its way out of the harbour. Blackbeard goes, no. I don't think so. He stops the ship. Her captain, a chap called David Harriet, is given the option, join with us or lose your ship. Those are the options. We are taking your ship. You can come with it, or we can leave you here.
Yeah.
Your choice, mate. And he goes, all right, I'll come. As do all his crew. Going, yes. All right.
They're all like, thank God this has been the most boring boat to be on.
I don't have
ever.
To cut any more wood.
Oh, God.
Wood's really dull. Blackbeard's second in command, a chap called Israel Hands, is sent across to command the Adventure. And from there, they all sail to the Bay of Honduras, where Blackbeard captures there a Spanish sloop. And he adds it to his growing pirate fleet.
So do they all sail together? Or do they
pretty much, I think.
Stuff?
They also go. Oh, so he's now got four ships under his command. He's got the grand sort of Queen Anne's Revenge. Mm. He's got Steve Bonnet's The Revenge.
Yeah.
He's got the Adventure and now this Spanish ship as well.
Nice.
Now, the other ones, the Revenge and the Adventure and the Spanish ship, they're all relatively smallish.
Yeah.
They're sort of single-masted boats. The Queen Anne's Revenge, three-mast, fucking massive great thing.
Yeah, nice.
Absolutely terrifying. Mm. Coming at you with his flag and screaming pirates and teach on fire in the beginning of the front and all that sort of stuff.
How far away did they have to start screaming when they saw a ship? Like, start screaming now! And everyone's like... I think they're about 7 nautical miles away, actually. But,
the wind will carry it.
It's a girl with a beard on fire.
But I love his ribbons.
It's so pretty. Oh, my God. We need to get fashion tips from these wonderful singing people.
So he's now got this fleet of four ships under his command. Yeah. He gives himself a promotion to Commodore.
He's no longer captain. Commodore.
He's now Commodore of a fleet.
That's the ultimate title.
So he's now Commodore. Whether he goes by Commodore Blackbeard or Commodore Teach, I don't know.
Does Blackbeard the nickname come in?
It comes in when Bostock goes back to the governor, and describes his opponent. That's when really the name Blackbeard comes in because his extensive Blackbeard, and you probably want to lean
Blackbeard
into that.
Yeah.
I would imagine, and he certainly does lean into the reputation.
Delicious.
Because he's actually known as being a relatively unviolent pirate who relies on his reputation. And his name of someone who's going to fuck you up because that's what people think.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, so he's now got this fleet of four ships. So he decides, right, we can go bigger and better than this. I've got four ships under my belt. In May 1718, he sails into Charleston Harbour, South Carolina, and blockades the town.
Nice.
So, right. Charleston, you're mine.
Well, I've always wanted to go to Charleston. We have some dear listeners from Charleston.
Yeah, absolutely. Dear old Blackbeard was there first. All vessels entering or leaving the port are stopped. They are searched. Over the next 5 or 6 days, 9 different vessels are stopped, boarded, ransacked, everything of value taken. The nice ones, we'll have that.
Yeah.
The shitty ones, on your way.
Some of the rowboat, nothing to see here. No.
He takes 4 ships, so he's now got a fleet of 8. 8 ships under his command. One ship that tries to sort of run this blockade is called the Crowley.
No way.
It's called the Crowley. And it's headed for London with a group of quite prominent Charleston citizens aboard. Okay. One of these is a chap called Samuel Wragg. Now, he is a member of the Council of South Carolina. Ooh. So quite a senior, influential fellow. The passengers are quite obviously taken prisoner. They are taken aboard Queen Anne's Revenge, a terrifying prospect for anyone, and they are questioned about the vessels that are still in port, what they're carrying, what their cargoes are, and then they're locked below decks. Teach informs these prisoners that he needs some medical supplies for his fleet. There's some of his crew that need medical supplies, and he expects Charleston to provide what he needs, along with a huge pile of gold as well.
Gold will help their broken legs.
if this is not forthcoming, then all the prisoners will be executed.
Sure.
And their heads will be sent to the governor, or the captured ships will be burnt.
Okay.
You have a choice. Now, unsurprisingly, Councillor Wragg agrees to these terms. Blackbeard's reputation has preceded him, and there is no doubt in their minds that if this is refused, he is going to carry out these threats. Yeah. He is going to execute the lot of them just because he can. Blackbeard gives them 2 days. You've got 2 days to get these supplies together and row them out to my boats. I get these things. I'm off. You can have your prisoners back. I leave.
Fair play.
The supplies do not arrive.
Ooh.
After 2 days. Evening of the second day, Blackbeard's there. Where's my shit? I gave you 2 days for this shit. Where's my stuff? He sails his fleet closer to the town. Everyone in the town there is now freaking the fuck out, thinking they're going to be on the receiving side of a broadside from a man of war type thing.
It just
gets
like a little bit forward, they all go, oh,
so they are now screaming and shouting, thinking they're going to get a cannon to the face. This does prompt the authorities of the town to go, right, release the supplies. Some little guys out there in a boat going, we're coming. He gets his supplies.
Here's your ibuprofen.
Here's your sack of gold. Please go away. True to his word, he takes the supplies as agreed. He releases his prisoner. He releases the captured ship and he sails on his way.
I mean, it's an amazing scene. Back then, the sight of these pirate ships coming towards you is like, oh, well, we're screwed. This town is destroyed.
Absolutely.
And they would have destroyed towns in the past as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. All these buildings are made of wood. Everything's going to burn a lot.
And we burn you to the ground. Yeah. Yes.
But no, he is true to his word and he guesses what he demands and he leaves.
Nice.
While he's been at Charleston questioning these prisoners, he has learnt, though, that a squadron of ships has left England with instruction to purge the area of the pirate threat. Now, these are serious Royal Navy men of war, big old bastard ships, sort of 200 cannon a ship type thing. They are scary beasties. Now, with this threat of the Royal Navy chasing them down, Blackbeard's decide he needs to prepare as best he can. He sails north to Beaufort Inlet, where he intends to careen his ships. So sort of run them aground so he can perform his maintenance. He needs to scrub the hulls of barnacles and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Any extra speed he can get is going to be an advantage.
Nice.
So he really needs to sort of make sure his ships are in tip-top condition,
and
this is the place to do it. However, disaster strikes. On the 10th of June, the Queen Anne's Revenge strikes a sandbar and runs aground. The shock cracks the mainsail, the main mast, and severely damages the hull. Now, this is not looking good.
No, that's your championship.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Teach orders his other ships to try and sort of drag the Queen Anne's Revenge off this sandbar. So, ropes everywhere, drag them, see if they can get them back out into deeper water. Yeah. At least it'll float and they can do whatever repairs they can. Disaster again, the adventure, one of the sloops also runs aground during this sort of during this rescue operation.
Don't worry, I'll save you. Don't come too close.
They came far too close.
And so, you do wrong? Yeah,
these two ships, Queen Anne's Revenge and the Adventure, are deemed unsalvageable.
They are
screwed. They are beyond repair.
Oh, God.
And Queen Anne's Revenge eventually sinks. Mm. Blackbeard's fleet is reduced to the Revenge and this Spanish sloop that they had captured. It's a shadow of its former self. Without the Queen Anne's Revenge and its 40-odd cannon, it's not looking good. So I think at this point, probably Blackbeard realizes that maybe the gig is up. This is not looking promising now.
You can't
especially
fight them on the seas.
With the Royal Navy, three men of war coming steaming across from England.
Yeah, looking for pirates.
This is not good. He does, however, know that royal pardons are being offered to pirates.
Well, they were, yeah.
Surrender. Now, this batch is particular to pirates who surrender before the 5th of September, 1718. So he's got a couple of months to decide whether he wants to take up this or whether he's going to risk it with the Royal Navy.
Yeah, nice.
On there. He is an untrusting fellow, though. So he decides that someone else should go first.
Yeah, because you rock up and say, I'd like my pardon, please. Yes, bang.
Bang,
okay.
Exactly. Next. Here's your pardon, the bullet through the brain. So he said, no, let's see what happens with other people who go to try and claim this pardon.
But plenty did.
Well, absolutely. And Stede Bonnet, his friend and the chap from the Revenge, he goes into Carolina and says, right, hello, Governor, I'm a pirate. Can I have my pardon?
And they look at him and went, no, you're not.
And the Governor goes, okay, here's your pardon. Here's your paperwork. Fine. Stede, he goes to reclaim his ship, the Revenge, from Blackbeard. The ship is gone. His crew are marooned on a small island.
Right.
Blackbeard's done a runner with Stede Bonnet's
boat.
No!
Oh, really?
He has betrayed his friend.
Oh, lucky.
Yes. Oh. So he waited for Stede to leave to go and get this pardon, and then he fucked off with his boat.
Amazing. Don't trust a pirate.
Don't trust a pirate, indeed.
Oh, dear.
So,
I mean, he's got his pardon now, so he's like, okay, well, I'm just going to slink off this way.
Well, but he would think that, but he doesn't. No, he goes mad. He absolutely wants revenge for the stealing of the Revenge.
He's just sitting on the beach and like sinking to his knees going, the irony!
Yes.
Think about the irony!
He manages to take another ship. And he goes...
Did he just get on a ship and push someone overboard?
He pushed someone overboard.
Oh, fuck off, I'm on the ship now.
He forgets his pardon. He goes, fucking hell, I'm getting you, Blackbeard, you bastard.
Oh, no.
And he chases Blackbeard around the Caribbean, trying... He never catches up with him.
Of course
not. He never gets him.
Oh, it's like Monkey Island all of a sudden. I'm picturing Guybrush Threepwood and LeChuck. Is that what this is based on?
It's exactly that.
Stede
Bonnet is eventually captured along with his crew on the 27th of September, and they are all sentenced to hang.
Oh, no.
And the gentleman pirate is no more.
I'm sorry, imagine that he was caught like after 3 minutes or something trying to chase him down. I know he was
a few weeks before he's captured.
Because I've just been going round and round in circles. This wasn't even Blackbeard I was chasing. This was a shark.
Blackbeard continues his raiding of sort of the North Carolina sort of coast.
Ah, why not?
His healthy donations to the governor and other officials sort of help pave the way, smooth the way when angry merchants come and go, my ship's been robbed. What? What's going on? You mean your derelict ship that you left unattended? That someone happened to steal? Well, that's not their fault, surely. Entirely legitimate. Oh, look, I've got this bag of sugar.
Walking out, going to the line of people outside. Right, he's no help whatsoever.
Really not.
He's really fixated on sugar.
Yeah, the governor is no good of North Carolina. However, in South Carolina, the governor there is somewhat less accommodating towards piracy. He's having none of it. Stamp out piracy. One of Blackbeard's former quartermasters is eventually captured taken in. And he agrees to testify against his former captain about all the illegal things and all the piracy that they had taken part in. This now gives the South Carolina government sort of license to go, right, go and get that man. We now have testimony that he has done horribly illegal things. So go and get him.
It's a tenuous thread,
isn't it? It's desperately tenuous. tenuous. But it's what they use as sort of, yeah, legitimacy to do all this.
Fair play.
Two ships from the Royal Navy, commanded by Lieutenant Robert Maynard, are dispatched to bring, yeah, Blackbeard to justice. With the additional incentive of £100 reward, dead or alive. Get this man. A lot of money at the time. We just want this fucker chip caught.
Dead or alive?
Dead or alive. Wow. We just want him out of the picture.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, we want him out of the picture. On the evening of the 21st of November, Blackbeard is anchored in the shallows around Ocracoke Inlet, and he spots these two ships approaching him. Now, by now, he's got 20, 25 men at his command, and he is horribly outnumbered. See, these two ships, probably between them, 60, 70 men. Sort of on these two ships, but they're coming to get him, and he makes ready to sort of repel this attack, and he declares he is going to give no quarter, and no quarter is expected in return. He is going to go down fighting.
I mean, that's very admirable. Not admirable is probably the wrong word. It's very strong and in his part, very in keeping with his character.
Absolutely.
I always think in those situations all the men are like, what?
Really? Are you sure?
We're not giving, not even a little bit?
Can we,
I'd rather not. Just.
I've got a white flag just here.
I'm just saying, it's over here.
It's over here if you need it.
It's here. We don't have to use it now, but just remember it's here. There we are.
Just
okay.
In case.
I've got a book here. I'd quite like to be reading.
Yeah, absolutely. The escape boat is just there. But he's like, no, he's lighting extra fuses in his hat. He's
ribbons are plenty. Oh my God.
Can't see his beard for ribbons. He's going
more,
out.
He's more ribbon than man. They're all watching him doing this maypole star thing going, fucking hell.
Always serious.
Oh, this isn't going to end well.
Yeah. As these two British ships approach the inlet, they hit a sandbank.
Oh,
just
that's great.
Below the surface, they run aground.
Did he know?
Making good on his promise, Blackbeard fires.
This boat is on fire.
Oh, where that came from?
Oh, that was amazing. Carry on. No. They fired.
Making good on his promise, Blackbeard fires at these helpless ships. One is rendered completely unsailable.
Wow.
Completely out of action. But the impact of this broadside on the other, second ship, actually pushes it free from the sandbank. And this vessel, this is the one that was commanded by Lieutenant Maynard, it actually begins to drift towards Teacher's ship, towards Blackbeard's boat. Drift, slowly drift there.
Ooh.
Now, on Blackbeard's ship, they see this boat, they see this ship approaching, but there's very few people on board. They can see a couple of people, and it's drifting ever so sort of slovenly. It's not sort of sailing directly at us.
It's a ghost ship.
Maynard is a clever man.
It's a clever man.
Lieutenant is a clever man. He has hidden most of his men below decks.
Clever boy.
As a delightful ploy. Mm. And as the ship drifts closer to Teach, they wait until the last moment. As they are alongside each other, Teach's men leap across into the boat, thinking it's pretty much abandoned by now. No. As they jump on board, the Royal Navy crew spring from their hiding place. Pistol shots going off all over the bloody place. Swords clattering. There is a huge rumpus on deck.
Rumpus?
A huge fracas on deck.
There's rumblings on the deck.
There really is.
There's a hell of a to-do.
There's a hell of a to-do going on. Blackbeard and Maynard fight hand-to-hand.
Oh, I love it.
While his crew are all battling around them. Teach is shot. He's wounded by a sword thrust to the neck, but oof, still he fights on.
Yeah, he does.
It takes 5 gunshots, 20 sword blows to finally fell Blackbeard. The final blow decapitates him.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Seriously?
Seriously.
I think that's how he died.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Major, major battle, yeah. So when they examine his body afterwards, 5 bullet wounds, 20-odd sword slashes, and the last blow is supposedly delivered by a Highlander. sort of one of the Scottish Marines who's on board the boat, not a Highlander.
He cropped out to be the only one, bitch.
who decapitates him with one strike.
Oh, God, it's like Boromir, isn't it?
It really is, absolutely. His body tumbles into the sea. Mm. And legend says it swims three times round the attacking ship before sinking to the depths.
Was it doing doggy paddle?
I don't know if it does or not. But
The backstroke.
The head is on board. Lieutenant Maynard takes Blackbeard's head, sticks it on the prow of his ship.
Wow.
And he enters Charleston Harbour with a warning to everyone. This is what happens to pirates. And from there, the story of Blackbeard passes into legend. There we go.
That's the story.
Blackbeard.
Of Blackbeard the pirate.
All this happened around 16 months.
It's very tense.
It's a hell of a lot going on.
It's a lot going on. The legend. Also, I like that in the end that Maynard is sailing into Charleston like, and this is what happens to pirates. And everyone on land is going, we know. We don't want pirates. He's been really fucking
he's
us over.
He's been really mean.
Don't now traumatise our children with this severed head.
Great ribbony beard billowing in the wind.
I mean, what an image. I mean, yeah, that is absolutely crazy if that's how he died.
Apparently so.
Yeah, like that ticks that meant. Because it was a very imposing man.
Oh, he was very, very tall, broad. Yeah, an incredibly imposing figure with his massive long beard.
Yeah, yeah.
All dressed in black. He had like knee-high sort of black leather boots.
Sexy.
Big old black hat.
Yeah. But he had the theatrics. He knew the power of theatrics.
Exactly.
He
knew the power of reputation and the power of fear.
Well, that's really. It. As you said, if he wasn't the most violent, we talked
No,
him.
He certainly wasn't the most violent.
Yeah. We talked in previous episodes about pirates who had horrific reputations for sort of not only killing and maiming and raping, but eating people and just bloodthirsty lust for violence.
Yeah. No.
He
wasn't that at all. He managed to cultivate this reputation. But initially, if you did what he asked you to do, you were fine.
Well, that was the pirate's code.
You were off and, you were free to go, give me your stuff, fine. And then off you go. If you fuck about, then you're in trouble.
Oh, I'd have done that. I'd have been a pirate. I'd have been on there straight away. Yo-ho, yo-ho. Yeah. Whatever I need to sing, I will sing.
But
it's fine.
He's the one people know. He is the one that people know. He wasn't the most successful. He wasn't the most long-lasting. He wasn't the richest, the one with the biggest fleet, or any of these things.
He had the biggest hat.
He had the biggest beard. Which is the important thing in life.
Daniel Defoe wrote about, I guess, is like singled out.
He wrote about many, many pirates in this. But he is the one who has gone down in history
as the
archetypal sort of pirate.
Is he the basis for Treasure Island?
Long John Silver.
For Long John Silver. Yeah, he didn't have a peg leg.
Have a parrot.
He might have had a parrot.
Not that I've come across in the research.
Well, maybe no one wrote it down at the time.
Maybe
he had a lovely parrot.
Maybe
he had a raven. Maybe he had a goose. That's that in his children again. This isn't working.
It's not working out here.
Okay, question. Am I crazy? Did he get married at some stage? There was a pirate who got married and was trying to be a gentleman for a bit.
There is a wee period in this story that I've actually left out of this.
Yeah.
Because for timing purposes, that he did try and go on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
It lasted about 6 weeks.
Yes. That's what I remember from seeing a documentary, but I wasn't sure if it was Edward Teach.
It was after his sort of Charleston escapade when he had raided the city. He was sort of offered... Yeah, he was offered a pardon at that point.
Yes.
Which he did accept and decided, I'm going to become a farmer. I'm going to do all these things. He had a little farmstead type thing. He did marry someone desperately, unfortunately young, which is about 16 or something like that.
My recollection was that they married and she was sort of wanting to have lovely tea parties and talking and was quite derogatory towards him because she was more refined than he.
Exactly. And he was more of the CC-going chappy.
And he was trying to be a gentleman and it was people were tittering over their teacups at him and he was like, fuck this.
Oh, exactly, fuck this and I'm off.
Yeah.
So then he returned to a life at sea.
Yes.
I mean, that period, I mean, lasts probably five, six weeks or so.
Yeah.
Because, his whole career, I mean, is so unbelievably short.
So but compact.
He crammed a hell of a lot into it.
Ooh, yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, amazing. And also, like, him being from Bristol... that's where you get the West Country kind of pirate accent and everything.
It's actually not.
Was it not?
No, it's not.
I thought I made that assumption there.
No, it's that actually comes from film.
No, does it?
It does. That sort of pirate accent comes from particular. One of the very first sort of talkies. That voice came about, that pirate voice. It was from a film.
Oh, I'll look that up. That's amazing. Okay. Yes. But
I may be wrong in my era, but it was from a film. That's where that pirate's voice came from.
I suppose it figures, doesn't it? Then when did Edward Teach move over to the Caribbean from Bristol?
I mean, when he was a teenager.
Was in his 20s?
Earlier teens.
Oh, so he would have developed an accent when he was out there.
He was early teens.
He would have lost a bit of it. It wouldn't be wondering, oh, I'm my lover, all right, you know, and everything. Hello, hello, hello.
And if he was, there weren't recordings of him at that point.
No one's right. He talks funny, he does. Oh, great story. Love it. Oh, I love a good pirate story.
Good old pirate story.
And it's nice, all the interplay between people there and also the ships. Fascinating. Yeah.
I mean,
stuff.
And he met Calico. He interacted. Calico there are stories, Jack Calico and, Jack and things like that. There's this grand sort of pirate base in Nassau. He was there with Calico Jack and sort of Charles Vane and all these people. All these fantastic characters.
Well, yeah, people talk of Tortuga. It was Nassau and everything. Nassau. And Providence and New Providence as well. You know, these were the bases. What a time to be alive!
What a horrible, horrible time to be alive.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean make it look nice.
Yeah, but cannibal to the face.
Cannibal to the face.
I don't want a cannibal to the face.
No, but also when it's not being cannonballed, nice weather and rum.
Nice weather, yeah.
And some gold. I don't know.
I'm thinking it's probably quite hard work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything worth doing is hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you hate hard work.
I do hate hard work.
You'll be a terrible pirate.
Yeah, I'd be a great captain.
No, you wouldn't.
No,
because you're expected to muck in. You'd be a great general on a battlefield.
I'd be like Steve Bonnet.
Yes, you would.
I'd be there going, oh, look, I've got a lovely boat, and it's polish the boat, polish the cannons. All the pirates go, for fuck's sake.
I would be your lieutenant, your lieutenant, standing there going, for fuck's sake.
Everyone is trying to kill you.
You need to swab a deck, for God's sake.
You need to sort this out.
I'd be climbing the riggings and I'd be running around like, yeah, like, let's cut them all, let's skin them. Like, stop it, Sinead, we're just refueling. How do you refuel a boat? Be like, you need wood. That's what we'd be arguing back and forth.
Yes, refuel the boat. We need more wind. Come on.
We need more sails. You know what? Sails. That would be us as pirates just arguing with each other on the dock where everyone's standing going, why are they
Sinead,
terrible?
Get more bags of wind. Come on. We need...
Oh, shit, I've fallen over. I'm very small as a pirate. This is okay. Yeah, we could sing about musicals, or we could become pirates.
We could become pirates
later today. Wonderful story of Edward Teach, Blackbeard, and encourage everyone to read about Blackbeard and also rewatch Blackbeard's Ghost, because what a joy that film is.
Delightful.
And Peter Ustinov. Well, what do you think, people? What do you think of the story of Blackbeard, Edward Teach, the pirate? Do you know of this story? Do you know more legends associated with him? Were there different parts of the story you'd never heard of before and you'd like to know more details? Or do you have your own theories and thoughts about what pirates really got up to? What happened on all of those boats? What were the ribbons like? We'd like to know what people think the ribbon was. I mean, there's wonderful pictures out there and sketches.
There are, absolutely.
There are, of Edward Teach. But we encourage you to go nuts with it and send us your sketches of Edward Teach and all his ribbony glory.
I also want to know, what's your pirate name?
That's a brilliant idea.
What's everyone's pirate name?
Well, how would you do that? So I know what the formula is for your porn name.
I'm making up.
Yeah, so if your porn name is your first pet and the street you grew up in, I believe it's that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, mine would be Shusha Lane. It's more like a film star, I think, actually, but, you know, I've done terrible things to get fame.
Yeah, mine's not good.
What's yours?
Wellington Coniston.
That's very good. Really? I mean, as a porn star, I mean, I would watch your films. Wellington Coniston. I'm like, my God, that man's posh.
My God, look at his boots.
You've sold it yourself already. You know what? You guys come up with what's the formula for your pirate name. Tell us what you think. Jump on the comments of this episode. Share your thoughts, your theories, your feelings. And also look out on social media and all of the messaging services that we use or anything like that. If you're on Patreon, look out, because we are going to need your help for episode 200. But while you're musing all of this, you should maybe...
No, don't bother.
No.
Don't bother.
You could mix up a cannonball.
No, don't.
You could mix up something better.
Yeah,
if you have mezcal, don't sully it with
no,
this.
No, don't. It's very bad.
It was fine. No. Adding the triple sec was okay. You're pointless. So disappointed. I really am. You're more disappointed than I am.
Annoyed. Pointless. Don't do it.
You have such high hopes. Yeah. But we had a Negroni on the side, actually, so that
I've
made everything
two,
better.
So it's great.
Yeah, the Cannibal, not great. So if you have a variation on the Cannibal that you want to share, or you have a better cocktail that you are enjoying this weekend or that you've enjoyed recently, share it on social media. Tag us in your pictures so we can share them with the world, or send us suggestions of other cocktails we should be doing in future. If you have not already, please do leave us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes or anywhere where you listen to your podcast. Reviews massively help our show and any show you listen to. Follow us on all the social medias that
all
you're
of them.
On. All of them, but we're only on a few. Predominantly, we are on Instagram and TikTok, and we have a lovely book club on Facebook called the Belladonna Book Club, where you can chat about the show and also share what you're reading. It's a wonderful community. And also consider joining us on Patreon, where there are some very beautiful people talking about all things poison and murder and just fun stuff. Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the poisoner's cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.